go free, but there's some kind of a cost involved. And what would be the best way to accomplish some kind of a reimbursement to the state university system, as well as providing what we want to do, which is allowing higher education to our guardsmen? Any ideas, suggestions, or direction from you and your folks would be very, very welcome at this point.
I can bring that back, and we can make that a topic of conversation.
I didn't expect an answer right away, but
good. It is an interest. You know, using the current all our current statutes, by waiving the tuition, then the student would be ineligible to get anything else.
Right. Under, so, one of the suggestions actually was to use the TAP program. And that becomes a little bit complicated.
Yes.
Because some of them may have already taken advantage of some of the TAP grant program, and maybe we'd reduce the amount by whatever they got. The state might supplement it. But there's got to be some kind of a solution that should be talked about shortly. Mm-hmm. Some of the surrounding states, just to give you an idea, do a total waiver. State universities just told you provide the space and that's it. There's no cost involved here. Mm-hmm. Others do cover minimal costs, hard costs. Yes. Some provide the opportunity to go to school based upon the availability in terms of space in that particular course of your choice. So it's a program that I believe the merits are clear focus right now, because I know times are very difficult in terms of money and so on, but this would be very, very helpful at this time. So whatever you can do.
Mr. Matthews, I'll give you this. This is the way Connecticut does it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Connecticut actually offers a waiver.
Yes. We're going to try to modify the Vietnam tuition. That's part of our program.
Yes, I've seen. And you have several times. Done a good job.
But Connecticut seems to be very successful on their waiver.
Mm-hmm. And that's a waiver at the at their university, in their university system.
The gentleman who made the presentation here today is really sharp. You might want to talk to him. That's in Connecticut.
Jim Tackett.
Jim Tackett.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yep.
Mr. Matthews, on behalf of the committee, thank you, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Next, we have an old friend, Mr. Michael Gold, former director of, I like this word, now defunct, Veterans Office Central Administration, the City University of New York. Welcome, Mr. Gold.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, am very glad to see my colleagues at the head table, the chairman and I and Greg Kane and Jim Hebron about 20 years ago created the Council of Legislative Representatives during the Kerry administration, and the Director of Veterans Affairs was Joe Anderson. So we're back again fighting the good fight. I'd like to speak to the level of veteran services in the City University. Also, a bit about what I know of the State University and financial aid programs for veterans at the Higher Education Services Corporation. As the University Director of Veterans Affairs at City University from February 75 until June of 1995. And that's 20 years. And my office was able, with a small staff, to cover very many areas of not only servicing veterans, but representing the university to the various levels of government, local, state, and federal government, and those agencies as part of those administrations that had a mandate to service veterans, which there are many. And I was successful in several ways of unifying and cooperating and strengthening our efforts to reach veterans with the U.S. Department of Labor and the State Department of Labor and Small Business Administration and Health and Human Services, the City and State Departments of Social Services. There are very many combined, and many others, there are very many combined programs over the years that where we try to do one-stop services for veterans to find out benefit information and their rights and privileges and information for their dependents. We had Veterans Information Days from 1979 on, sponsored by the New York City Veterans Civic Council. I was involved from 1982 in programs reaching homeless veterans, and many of the homeless veterans we found, and if we could find them the basic necessities, a place to stay, things to eat, clothes, set them up, many of those veterans attended below college level veterans program we had at LaGuardia Community College and got their high school level education, and some of them went on, and some very successfully, into City University and excelled. As Dean Proto and Dean Thomas stated, the reason for the closing of the office was ostensibly the severe budget cuts on City and University last year. However, the details of that are, very many people were early retired and switched over, but I know Dean Proto told me that there were 43 people being let go from Central Administration at the time by June 30th, and what really happened was that 20 people were let go, and 8 of the 20 were found jobs on other campuses, so that leaves you with 12 positions that were eliminated. And I think that looks a bit differently to veterans when the sole office for veterans is eliminated as one of the 12. It's much easier when a reduction is made part of a bigger staffing group, than of an office of two individuals trying to serve a constituency. I think the dean was correct when he stated that the veterans office was unique, but I would say that its founding was unique. It was set up by Chancellor Kibbe, who was himself a Purple Heart World War II veteran, got his doctorate under the GI Bill and understood veterans. And it continued. It continued for many years after that. And in addition, a very active outreach program. I think that it's fair from my point of view to state that most outreach services are not taking place. I described some of them to you previously, but on our own, the Office of Veterans Affairs had an ongoing recruitment program for veterans that was very successful. And I myself was involved in, you know, many of the difficult counseling issues facing veterans. The first conference on Agent Orange in this country was held at the City University in 1976. And a follow-up to that conference was held in Washington, D.C. in 1980. We also have been a leader in the fields of counseling and taking care of less than honorable discharges. As all of you know, if a veteran has a less than honorable discharge, he cannot receive any benefits. And until I was successful in transferring those functions to a not-for-profit corporation outside the university, the university veterans counseling offices were doing the upgrading of discharges. For the past 13 years, we've sponsored a conference, an all-day conference on post-traumatic stress disorder, which has included some of the leaders in the field, some of the groundbreaking authors of books and studies about post-traumatic stress. And the conference continues until this day. I think that a lot of veterans at City University and a lot of the veterans in the community of the city of New York are sort of falling through the cracks in services that I think a couple of members of the panel know from their own experience, trying to reach veterans' information there. But I have been made to understand that veterans still show up at my old office at 31st Street looking for services. I've been told that veterans call every day my old number looking for services. I have also with me a letter I was forwarded to me from a veteran at Woodburn Correctional Facility in Woodburn, New York, and this veteran just was asking, he stated that he was due to get paroled in a month or two, and he had an associate degree and he wanted to get a bachelor's degree, and this letter was forwarded from the university central office to my house to answer that letter, you know, just last month, long after I left. You can pass this around and see how they're taking care of business. It's sort of an easy, anybody on Dean Proto's admission staff could answer that question. It's just a matter of telling the veteran where he could obtain a degree in computer science. I intend to write the veteran back and tell him where to get the information and pursue his education. Another area, as I said, I wanted to cover, and in my long experience as the university veterans director, I, and in the state of New York, I have met and, you know, had dealings with the veterans coordinators or veterans directors at other campuses and from other universities. And in recent years, I have seen a diminishment of veteran services all around the State University of New York and some of the private colleges and universities, because the initial impetus for providing veteran services on campus was federally initiated through a veterans cost of instruction grant through the Office of Postsecondary Education of the Department of Education, and that grant has since been stopped. So a lot of the functions of coordinators and directors and counselors of veterans have been shuttled to clerks who are, you know, just interested in getting the appropriate information for certifying a veteran for benefits, which is very important. But I think most of you know that veterans have all sorts of other problems, and these problems can inhibit their successful completion of an education at one of our colleges. There's financial problems, job problems, family problems, mental and substance abuse problems, all kind problems with disabilities and other kinds of functions which can, you know, really hold them back. Additionally, I think you also have to know, as I stated in the beginning, the network of services and benefits that are available and programs and organizations with which offer those services. There's none of that linkage going on now, or very little of it, or a very surface attempt being made to do those linkages at the City University, and I assume around the State University and at the private colleges, if there isn't a knowledgeable and full-time Office of Veterans Affairs. Most of the services on CUNY campuses are being provided by administrative personnel who have other functions in a registrar's office or an office of financial aid. And, you know, they're just happy to get their benefit work done with the vets and not mess up his paperwork, rather, you know. And one of the specialties of the CUNY Office of Veterans Affairs was to handle the hard cases of veterans, the most difficult cases, and the cases that the campuses had problems with. So that kind of backup and support is gone. Lastly, I'd like to just touch on the Vietnam Veterans Tuition Awards and suggest that in my interaction on a university level for almost two dozen campuses, what I'd like to suggest is that the functions of marketing the program and accounting for the program be made separate, that HESC has never been able to do an adequate job of getting the word out about VVTA and Child of Veteran Awards, etc. Most of the time I would get new applications and new brochures about a year after the legislature authorized another 2 years of the benefit. And we had about a year to get the word out to vets, and then, you know, there was a diminishing interest because the literature started to state that the, you know, tuition award was going to expire in a couple of months, you know. So I think that I would suggest that the Division of Veterans Affairs be given the outreach function, and that I do think that HESC did more than an adequate job, a good job on, you know, verification and delivery of awards to the vets, and that that be kept with HESC, but that the outreach function be given to the Division of Veterans Affairs. So I think that we should, since there's been a recent change in the Child of Veteran Award, a lowering of the disability standard, that, you know, that that DVA could handle that program, and even, you know, allied financial aid programs of HESC that veterans and their dependents could use to, you know, have a whole support for their educational futures. So that's where I'd like to wind up.
Mr. Gold, on behalf of the council, it is, we have to stop at 3 o'clock, and it's 3:05, and I want to thank you for taking your time for coming up and giving us some insight on the CCY, and I hope someday you get reinstated to that job that you did so well for so many years.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Thanks to the committee.
Is there someone here from the New York State Department of Education? I was going to introduce you, Mr. Rumsey. You're the director of the Veterans Divisions Bureau of the New York State Department of Education.
That's correct. I've been with the Bureau now for 26 years. I think today is the anniversary. We have proven supervised programs and veterans training under the GI Bill, Title 38. We work on a contract with the Department of Veterans Affairs. I apologize for no one being representing Bessit. I think Rick had some questions concerning Bessit. I don't know really what happened. Rick called me this morning about 7:20 a.m. Said that this was going to take place. I didn't get it back Friday. Apologize for not better representation. We've had a great program going.
Hearing none, I want to thank you too, sir, for being here today. I'm sorry that Commissioner Mills didn't authorize you really to come up with a statement.
Well, I'm becoming fond of Commissioner Mills. He has been a great institute his new policy where all correspondence will be answered within a week, and I think he's very sincere about it.
Thank you, sir. I before we close, I want the record to show that some people have been here. Great help to the committee. Mr. Barry Heimbender, National Board of Directors, a member of the VVA. He's the Veteran Service Officer in Nassau County. Welcome, sir, and thank you for your great help. I'd like to recognize Joanne Martin, a liaison in the Assembly of Veterans. Joanne, as usual, old faithful and a real great lady.
Young
great lady.
Young faithful.
Faithful. And also I'd like to recognize Mike O'Meara from the VVA, who shares an office with the VFW, and he does a great job. Mike O'Meara. Welcome, Mike. Who do I forget? Oh, yes, last but not least, I like to make this nice. The council wishes to gratefully acknowledge the Honorable Michael J. Hoblock, Jr. and the Honorable Ronald C. Tocci for their support and encouragement of the council and our member organization. The council also extends our gratitude to the New York State Director of Veterans Affairs, John Behan, for his invaluable advice, and counsel to continue to extend the counsel in our member organization. The veterans of New York are indeed fortunate to have public officials of such quality in these key positions at this difficult time. Thank you, one and all.
Could I make a comment addressed to Chairman Tocci? I know, you know, we really appreciate the support we're getting from you. I had 24 years of active duty. I talk to veterans all the time, and I just see an entire environment changing with the leadership that's being provided from your office and from your counterpart's office. One of the things that I kept hearing throughout the testimony today is, and the other hearings we've had also, is that people come in and talk about the things they do for Veterans Affairs, but you probably heard me ask a couple of times, do they have a veteran in their office? And almost unanimously, they do not have a veteran. And it's difficult to understand how somebody who's never served in the armed forces, representing a state office or a federal office, can really communicate to the veteran population. So it's just a point that I'd like to make for your edification.
It's a good point.
Thank you.
To answer his point, the VA, the largest employer of employees in the VA system, about a third of them are not veterans.
Well, we had a case today, sir, of a young lady who was in here, had 7 years experience in the military, in logistics. And she was passed over for a position at the Veterans Hospital for somebody that they hired off the street.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This council is adjourned until April the 23rd.
Or until tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon.